Since this is the session in which we give emphasis to our mission work in Latin America, I hold in my hand this gavel. On the mallet of it, on one side, is engraved the continent of South America. At the end is the Aztec calendar of Mexico. It is beautifully carved, and in the center, the WMU emblem, as you see it here, in the background, except that it is in Spanish. This is a gift of the Woman's Missionary Union of Mexico on behalf of all the countries in South America where we have mission work. And so I open this session of our 75th annual meeting with this gavel. And now, Dr. Claude H. Ray will lead us in a song service. And as he comes, there is an emergency call, telephone call, for Reverend M.J. Morton.
Come, women, wide proclaim life through your Savior slain. We shall sing, please, the first and fourth stanzas of the women's hymn. May we stand together, please, as we sing. Reflected upon this great celebration of the 75th anniversary of Women's Missionary Union, certainly there could be no more appropriate hymn than hymn number 2 in our hymnals, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. Hymn number 2 in our hymnal. Sing, please, the first and third stanzas. You're doing wonderful singing. May we continue. To Right. seated, please. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. We turn now to hymn number 38 as we sing a great missions hymn. Ye Christian heralds, go, proclaim salvation through Emmanuel's name. Hymn number 38. Last stanza in unison, may we sing it just above a whisper, please, as a prayer, very softly in unison. During these sessions of the 75th anniversary of Women's Missionary Union, we have had a glimpse of the whole world, every continent, every area where we as Southern Baptists are represented in world missions. This morning I then feel it appropriate to inject here a mission hymn, a hymn which tells of the sovereignty of God. In these days of Sputnik and Lunik, and intercontinental ballistic missiles, certainly we as Christians have a great assurance. The assurance that we worship a sovereign God, a God who still in this sophisticated 20th century has the whole world in his hand.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the wind and rain in his hand. He's got the moon, the stars in his hand. He's got the sun, the skies in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the cinema in his hand. He's got the cinema in his hand. He's got the cinema in his hand. He's got the whole world in tiny baby in his hand. He's got the tiny baby in his hand. He's got that little tiny baby. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. He's got you and me. He's got the whole wide world in his hand.
Go, women, wide proclaim the truth of Christ.
For 75 years, members of Woman's Missionary Union have labored to spread the gospel at home and in every land. During this anniversary year, we have sought to honor the past. As we have sensed past devotion and dedication, we reverently have determined in our hearts that in our day, we could do well to set our goals and so plan that we might build our tomorrows on the priceless foundations of our yesterdays. If God is to honor our work, we must reaffirm our purpose and dedication to it. So let us keep faith with those whose hands passed on the torch of light and responsibility to us. Hold high the torch. We did not light its glow. 'Twas given us by other hands. And remembering always, we are laborers together with God, and joining with us those Baptist women throughout Latin America who will be brought closer to our hearts by Mrs. Gerald Riddle of Chile.
God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Just almost immediately after the organization of Woman's Missionary Union in this great country, God was touching the heart of a Scots school teacher to go to Chile as a colonizer and as a teacher. And then he used a North American missionary in Brazil. And those two together, with a national Chilean pastor, were actually the reason for the formation of Women's Missionary Union in Chile. Can you believe it? Three men. Mr. McDonald left the group with which he had gone out and was the forerunner of our Baptist work. And then Helen Bagby's father made this first missionary trip for Southern Baptists into Chile to see what was to be found there. As he arrived, he found an outstanding young national preacher, Juan Domingo Alvarez, whom he took back to Brazil to train. And this young Chilean came in contact with Women's Missionary Union of Brazil, and seeing their work and seeing the results of it, when he returned to Chile, took a firm determination and also a translation of their constitution to Chile to organize women in Chile. He did not anticipate this idea that women were supposed to be only active in their homes, that they were not to speak in church. And so in those first years, women were limited to helping with the sick, to cleaning the meeting halls, and manual labor, handwork, as we say in English. And yet, they also were there, and they were praying, and they were seeking God's leadership. Many times they were allowed to serve the mate and cheese to these all-night services, because in South Chile it was so cold that when the people met, they could not go home at night. They had no beds for them to sleep, certainly not enough cover. So many times they had services all night long, and then returned to their homes the next morning. So 40 years ago, and we celebrate our anniversary this year, our 40th anniversary in Chile, I have in my hand the program from our celebration. I also have in my hand the annual that we used in Chile. And also a short history telling of those early years. But God certainly was leading. As he led you, he led them also. But one of the major efforts of this original organization was child evangelism through Sunbeam work, through supporting students in our Baptist Academy. Miss Agnes Graham, who was the founder of our Baptist Academy, led out in this child evangelism. And so through Sunbeams, in all of the history of the work in Chile, we find many times our work has been established with a spearhead of Sunbeams and women meeting in a circle in a private home. And they have made this a plan of their work. Also, Women's Missionary Union in Chile has charge of the Vacation Bible Schools. And so they have, through the years, where there weren't men to do it, the women went in, organized the children, organized the women, eventually had the women bringing their husbands, and churches resulted from these efforts. Just 3 years ago in May, I was in one of these churches that had resulted from just such an effort. Marjorie Spence, who is still on your prayer calendar, though she's past the 65 age limit. Marjorie would go to this little area. She would work with Sunbeams. She would work with GAs. She had as many as 65 and 70 girls, many, many times completely alone. And yet Margie is praying, and I heard her beg Dr. Means the last time he was there Dr. Means, you must let me finish out this 5-year term, because she says I have another church started. And it's true. She's gone into another new section of town. She's organized the children, and she's organized the women, and she's building a church. And she begged Dr. Means, please let me stay. As Miss Perry and Miss Anderson and Neil Young sat on the platform yesterday, I was reminded of three women in Chile today who are still there, past the age of retirement. Mary Moore, past 45 years of service. Marjorie Spence, who has flat feet, who but runs. She doesn't have a car, but she runs and she goes constantly. And then Cornelia Breyer, all three of them on your prayer calendar. Cornelia, in her Yulee poet just recently, said, I should have 1 foot in the grave, but I have just bought a little red pickup truck, so I have 1 foot in the gas. And so she's still going. In fact, Cornelia is filling my place at this time as Dean of Women and has charge of the girls in the girls' dormitory in our school. But as I said, in May of 1960, on a Sunday afternoon, actually May 22nd, I stood teaching a small group of young people in a Sunday school class, people who had been brought together by one of these original efforts. And all of a sudden, the whole world began to heave and hope, and the mountains shook and smoked, and everything was topsy-turvy, as if we were on some great sea and in a storm. And yet, I saw the women and the children and these young people quietly kneel to their knees and pray to a God whom they knew and whom they trusted. Out in the streets, the whole community was clamoring and calling to high heaven, praying for deliverance, praying for anything, praying to a God they did not know even if he existed. But inside this little humble mission point, the teacher of the children's class was there in the vestibule. And it was the Sunday we were studying the Lord's Prayer. And she said, now you repeat after me. And so she started, Padre Nuestro, que estás en los cielos. And they repeated, Padre Nuestro, que estás en los cielos. Santificado sea tu nombre. Santificado sea tu nombre. And all the way through this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and the world was still going up and down. And then she said, we'll go again. And she did. And then she said, we'll go again. And so into the fourth prayer, before this earthquake was over. But with the word of God in the mouths of children, she had been able to calm their hearts and to restore their equilibrium in a time when no one else had any. This song that Dr. Ray just sang was the one thing that rang in my mind all during that experience, because we had been listening to a record of Marian Anderson's on which she had sung this one song particularly, and all the family had been singing it. And that day, as everything was askew, I thought, truly, truly, he's got the whole world in his hands. It was the Sunday after one of those original summit meetings of Eisenhower and Khrushchev, and we had all called it a fiasco. And I thought, truly, truly, it does not depend on Eisenhower, nor Khrushchev, but on God himself. But there's one thing about earthquakes I've learned, and that is that when you go home and things are all in a heap, you clean them up and go on. When I got to my house that afternoon, I had a little 14-year-old girl with me that was living with me. I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everything was shattered. Everything had fallen. The chimney to my kitchen had fallen, but completely free of the roof, whereas I had seen a chimney fall right through the roof of a house out in front of this mission. But my one response, almost mechanical, was, it doesn't matter. Because in those 4 minutes, I had experienced as never before in my life what really mattered. But we cleaned up the things. Gerald was away from home. He'd gone to Concepcion because they'd had an earthquake there the day before. He got back within an hour and a half of Temuco, and they said, Temuco does not exist. You can't even get there. But he, too, did not believe the reports. He came home and found that we weren't there because we'd gone on to our little church service at night in another church. And our church was full of people. People whom we'd never been able to get there before, because they were looking for a God who could shake the earth and for a God who could cause it to stop. But as we clean up and as we go on, we find that God's work moves on. Last year in February, Mrs. Mathis came to visit us in Temuco. She visited in my home. She even slept in my bed. But I wasn't even there. As missionaries, we say, come see us anytime. We're never there anyway. And so that was the way it was. Because we had gone to this new station that you read about in your newest commission, down on the very point, the end of the continent, right on the Straits of Magellan, the southernmost city in the world. We had gone down there to see of the possibilities of opening work. And then this year, in the last of January and the first of February, which are summertime in South Chile, John Parker went down there with his family and with a national family, actually with our national leader of Sunbeams. And they again established a mission point with Sunbeams and with Bible schools. And as you read your new commission, you'll read of a new station opened in the southernmost city of the world, where the continent tapers out to the Antarctic, only 640 miles from the Antarctic, where the winds are fierce and full of sand. But as we return to Chile in the fall, we have been offered the challenge to go to this new place and to work with these people there. There are tremendous Scots ranch farm, sheep ranches there. And these Scotsmen have no one to preach to them except one pastor who go down 3 weeks in the summer. Then there are the oil fields just across the Straits of Magellan. And then there's another city 200 kilometers up the coast on the west coast, Puerto Natales. And then this group in Punta Arenas. And that name simply means Sandy Point, so don't let it scare you. But as we return to Chile in the fall, we have accepted this challenge to go to the end of the world and preach to those people. I'm reminded of the hymn, The Last Stanza of Joy to the World. I heard Mahalia Jackson singing it not long ago. He rules the earth with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
This morning we will be led in our morning prayer by the immediate past president of Women's Missionary Union, Mrs. George R. Martin. Ms. Martin is a member of the executive of the Baptist World Alliance, of which our honored guest is the president. Ms. Martin, will you lead us as we stand together?
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, and how greatly do we praise thee. Our Father, this morning we come to acclaim our praise and our adoration for our God. We know and we believe that thou art the all-powerful, and that with thee nothing is impossible. And we come this morning to sing praises to thy name. O God, we ask that thou wouldst forgive us. We are deeply penitent, knowing that thou canst not work thy will when we are not in accord. And we realize this morning that we have followed thee afar off. We have failed to seek thy guidance and thy direction. We have failed to play our part in the drama of the world. And so we come and ask for forgiveness. Look into each heart in this presence, and whatever is wrong, whether there be intolerance, whether there be lack of understanding or lack of vision, O God, fill us and forgive us for our failures to thee. And our Father, we come this morning in behalf of the peoples in Latin America. We know much of their difficulty. We know much of their great problems. But we come this morning to pray and to beseech thee that thou wilt give guidance and direction to the national leaders of these countries. For we know when they become thy witnesses, everything will be in order. And oh God, we pray for them this morning. Not only would we pray for the national leaders, but for all of the national people in those countries. And then, our Father, we come in behalf of our blessed missionaries who have left all and followed thee, and who have gone to these lands and dedicated their lives to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are on our prayer calendar this morning. Many of us have already prayed for those who are having birthdays today. And our Father, we come to pray for all of them. Some are in places of great danger. Some are in places of peril. Some are in places where doubt is growing. And our Father, we come this morning praying for each and every one of them. Grant, O Lord, that thou wilt be this day with the missionary on the furthest outpost of this world. Give unto them the grace and the wisdom and the determination to seek lost souls for thee. And our Father, we come this morning to pray that the ongoing of thy message and thy mission may be accelerated, because Women's Missionary Union paused to pray. Give us power. Give us thy spirit. And Lord, this morning speak through everyone who speaks. Grant our Father that they may speak the words, but they may hide themselves behind the cross, and may we see Jesus only. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I've been asked to announce again that a nursery is available. If you have a child that belongs in the nursery, you may find the location of it by inquiring at the information desk. On yesterday morning, Mrs. Fling called together, according to our bylaws, the members of the nominating committee for 1964. That committee was organized as follows: Mrs. Miller of Georgia, the chairman; Mrs. Parker, the co-chairman of North Carolina, the co-chairman; Mrs. Kilpatrick, California, the secretary. You have been buying the special things we have brought for the anniversary here, the Royal Service Edition, which you can never get again unless you get it here, with the gold seal on it showing that it was purchased at the 75th anniversary meeting. Also, the 50th anniversary issue of Tell magazine. These will be available at the close of this session, still in the foyer, and then the booths will be moved to the exhibit hall, where Women's Missionary Union has an exhibit that we would like all of you to see during the week, and there you may purchase these. You've looked pretty ever since you got here. I've mentioned before how many of you are here, and that thrills us, for those of you who are not sitting where you can see the number. And I believe the number is climbing, for you are climbing higher into the balconies today. And I still wonder what's going to happen tonight. Since you are on the inside, let me remind you that this is the night that Women's Missionary Union will present the pageant, the 75th anniversary pageant, before the convention. The convention hall will be filled and early. And so if you want a seat, you must come early to get that seat. Not only do you look pretty today according to your size, I mean by that your number, but you look pretty because of the many costumes that I see scattered throughout the auditorium. When Mrs. Mathis, Mrs. Fling, and I discussed whether or not the platform personnel would wear costumes, we decided that the women in 1888 must have had something we didn't have to be able to work in those long dresses, up and down the steps and all around. So we decided we better put on our work clothes and come. But we are delighted to see you all dressed up in your beautiful 1888 dresses. It'll be quite all right for you to wear them tonight. There will be people in the pageant in 1888 dresses. The ushers will be here in 1888 dresses. And so you may want to just keep yours on and enjoy it all day. In addition to the 1888 costumes, which I see in the auditorium, I see the costumes of many nations as the missionaries are arrayed before us here in the national dress of the countries in which they serve. Now, many of you will not be able to get here. In fact, you will not be able to get here and see them at the close of this session. But there will be an opportunity later this week for you to see them. On Thursday afternoon, the Foreign Mission Board is having a reception of honoring the foreign missionaries into which all of us are invited. And you can watch the papers and listen for the announcements to get the place of that. Or can you tell me, Ms. Mathis? The Grand Ballroom at the Muehlbach Hotel, Mrs. Mathis says, is the place of that reception. Also, the home missionaries who are here, you will want to meet personally. And the reception honoring them is being given Wednesday afternoon in the Muehlbach Hotel, the tea room there. And so will you watch for the announcements. Wednesday afternoon, home missionaries. Thursday afternoon, foreign missionaries. And there you can go and see them and shake their hands. It's wonderful to be linked with them and the work they are doing in so many parts of the world. It's even more wonderful to know that as a result of their labors through long years, many of them, we have come to have fellow Christians, fellow believers in 53 countries of the world. And so many of these people are mindful of the fact that we are assembled here. Greetings continue to come from Okinawa after our session on the Orient. We received greetings. From Australia, greetings have come, all of which, as I have said before, we shall preserve for posterity. Other greetings have come. One has come to us from the seminary located here in this city, Midwestern Seminary. And along with the greeting from Midwestern has come the invitation to attend an open house Wednesday afternoon at Midwestern. I really think you're going to have to plan your afternoons very carefully to make ends meet and get to all of these places. But if you have looked on the front of the hymnal, which we have been using, you will see the Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's located just outside the city here. It is your seminary, and you would like to see it, I feel sure. There will be open house from 2 until 6 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. An unusual greeting has come to us in this meeting. Just prior to our opening here, the furloughing missionaries, along with newly appointed missionaries, have had a meeting nearby here in Missouri for several days. And those missionaries assembled here in this state drew up a word of appreciation, which they have sent to us. In this World Missions Year of 1963, the 75th anniversary of Women's Missionary Union Auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, knowing your concern for the program of worldwide missions and your fervent consecration to the task of undergirding this great program through prayer, mission study, community missions, and giving, we participants in the conference for furloughing missionaries gathered at the beautiful Windermere Baptist Assembly in Missouri, representing 1,685 Southern Baptist foreign missionaries serving in 53 countries, wish to express our love and gratitude for your support of our total mission program. You have expressed your world awareness from the very beginning of the history of Women's Missionary Union in 1888. This year, you have inspired the churches to contribute, in addition to the cooperative program, a Lottie Moon Christmas offering of $10,323,591.69. We are constantly aware that you are laborers together with us under God's leadership. We earnestly covet your continued prayerful interest and support as we look forward to an ever-widening program of witnessing in the name of Christ around the world. Greetings have come to us from Latin America, the country on which we are focusing our attention today. We have greetings from the past president of the Latin American Union, greetings from Colombia, which they salute us on beautiful stationery with the map of Colombia there, first written in Spanish and then translated for me into another language. We have greetings from Mexico, sent by the president and the secretary there. We have greetings that I have chosen to read from the president of the Latin American Union. The Latin American Baptist Women's Union sends greetings to you who are gathered in Kansas City for the Women's Missionary Union annual meeting. We have remembered you during your 75 days of prayer and have joined our hearts with yours. You will rejoice with us in the success of our joint meeting of the Baptist Women's Union in the southern part of Latin America, which was held in Buenos Aires in November of 1962. It was well attended with representatives of 10 countries. And then I thought in conclusion, well, almost in conclusion, that I should read to you the greeting that has come from Argentina. For last February, just after our meeting in Birmingham, our executive board meeting, our president left from Birmingham and went immediately to South America, the purpose being to visit many countries, but primarily on the invitation of the Argentine women. And so this greeting comes from the president and the corresponding secretary. Baptist women of Argentina send warmest greetings. We rejoice with you in the celebration of your 75th anniversary. May you ever find wisdom and power to lead wisely as in the past. Last year, your president, Mrs. R.L. Mathis, told of your plans for prayer retreats. It was the desire of our convention to observe special seasons of prayer during the same period as yours. We did so, and the blessings were many. We assure you that our hearts are ever united with yours in thanksgiving and praise. The work of the Baptist Women of Argentina began spontaneously in the very early days of missionary work. And then she goes on to tell of the blessings of God upon their organizations and their numbers. And then makes reference to the allocation we have in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for helping with the literature. She says, the fund for publications which we receive from Women's Missionary Union is far-reaching in its influence. We have a WMU manual written and published here. This is our third year to publish a yearbook which is so enthusiastically used. We have a news bulletin which is reaching every woman in every society. A counselor's plan book for each of the auxiliary organizations is a handy tool for efficient leaders. Attractive biographies of early missionaries and national leaders written and published in this country are a challenge to service. Special tracts, posters, and other necessary literature is sent to each society for use in the very important yearly simultaneous evangelistic campaign for women, sponsored by our union. We share to some extent in these and other publications, you share to some extent in these and other publications which enrich many lives. We think of you. We pray for you as you celebrate your 75th anniversary. May God continue to bless you as you find many ways to send the message of Christ's love to the women of all nations. And in conclusion of the greetings, I would like to recognize the honored guest today, who last evening sent to our room the greetings from his own country, which were sent by his hand to us, Dr. Sorin.
Madam President, distinguished delegates to this historic meeting, I have been the bearer of a message of greeting from your sister organization and my twin sister, because that organization, the Women's Union, Missionary Union of Brazil, and this Baptist preacher were born at the same time during the second session of the Brazilian Baptist Convention. And that was not 75 years ago. The Executive Committee of the Women's Missionary Union of Brazil met for the special purpose of sending you this greeting. The Baptist Women's Missionary Union of Brazil sends cordial greetings to this your 75th anniversary. May it be a time of giving thanks to God for the wonderful progress made, and a time when plans will be launched which will yield even greater gains in the future for the extension of his kingdom to the ends of the earth.
Dr. Sorin, on behalf of Women's Missionary Union, we would like to present to you a little gift. It does have in it a diamond, although you may not be able to see it except through a microscope. But it is because of our diamond anniversary that we give you this tie bar. And we hope that you will wear it, and as you wear it, that you will remember this occasion and remember always, too, how much we love and appreciate you. It's always very consoling when someone else forgets. Miss Hunt just forgot to ask the missionaries from Latin America to please stand. So will you stand? And I'm delighted that she forgot, for it gave me the privilege of asking you to stand. My, what a good-looking sight. Thank you for being here. Now the time has come for our business session, and I want to remind you that every woman here who is a member of Women's Missionary Union has the privilege of voting. The first item in our business session is the report of our Executive Secretary, Ms. Hunt.
Madam President, the reports as printed were distributed on yesterday, and I move the adoption of the Executive Board report without reading.
Is there a second to the motion? Is there a discussion? If not, all favoring the motion will please say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Now, I believe that you were told yesterday by our Executive Secretary that you were to read that report, that you would find in it very important information, especially that regarding Carver School. I hope you read it. And if you did, you found that the Executive Board of Women's Missionary Union had passed a bylaw regarding the transfer of Carver School. Now, this makes it necessary for us to amend the union bylaws. And so I shall read the following amendment to the bylaws of Women's Missionary Union as proposed by the Executive Board on January 18, 1963 and printed in Royal Service. Contingent upon action of the Southern Baptist Convention in session in May 1963 regarding the proposed merger of Carver School of Missions and Social Work with the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, amend Article 8, striking out Section 12 as follows. The Executive Board shall submit annually to the Committee on Boards of the Southern Baptist Convention the names of the nominees of Women's Missionary Union selected by the Executive Board to serve as trustees of the Carver School of Missions and Social Work. These nominees shall be members of Women's Missionary Union. The Executive Board may appoint such committee or committees and prescribe such procedure for making nominations to it as from time to time may seem to be advisable. Now, I think you recognize the meaning of this. Contingent upon action of the convention in transferring the Carver School of Missions and Social Work to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, it will no longer be necessary for Women's Missionary Union to place in nomination some of the trustees of Carver School. Now the matter is before you. Is there discussion? If not, all favoring the amendment. And if you are eligible to vote, I want you to vote. All favoring this amendment will please stand and remain standing for a moment. As you stand, you realize that it takes a two-thirds vote to pass this amendment, and we would not have time to count you unless there is an appreciable number standing in opposition. And so will you stand until we can look around real good. All right, you may be seated. Those opposing this amendment, will you please stand? I see no one standing. And so I declare this amendment passed by more than the two-thirds required.
Madam President, there is yet another matter from the Executive Board which is not in the printed report, which I would like to report to the Union at this time. The Executive Board has taken action which will bring perhaps to your heart mixed emotions as it does to mine. The Board has elected Mrs. R.L. Mathis to the position of Promotion Division Director on the staff in Birmingham. This brings mixed emotions because, of course, it means that it brings to a close her term of service as our president. But as the board looked at this and realized that under our tenure, if she were to continue as long as she might be permitted to under the bylaws, she would have but two more years in a place of leadership among us. And the board recognized that in asking her to come as the Promotion Division Director of Women's Missionary Union, we could have her for a long time and could have all of her energies and all of her talents and all of her time devoted to Women's Missionary Union. And so the board has taken this action and has permitted me to make this announcement to you at this time. Knowing that this was to come, the board desired to have an expression of appreciation presented to you, that it might become the union's expression. Three members of the board were selected to draw this up, Mrs. M.K. Cobble of Tennessee, Mrs. J.I. Allford of Georgia. These two members at large on our board, but women who have served also as vice presidents during Mrs. Mathis's presidency. And the third member, Miss Elma Cobb, who is serving currently as the president of the Arkansas Union.
And, Madam President, by inviting these three women to slip to the platform, I have provided a vice president handy on whom you can call to occupy the chair, while Mrs. Cobble, the chairman, reads for the executive board this expression of appreciation.
According to your suggestion, I will call the vice president, Miss Elma Cobb, to occupy the chair.